Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back. This is Gameplay. This is a great night for sports betting, or just being entertained, because you are going to have the Raptors taking on the Phoenix Suns. And by the time that game is done, you tune on to TSN 1050. You got Leafs in Vegas, 9:30 pregame, 10 o'clock puck drop. But for my money, the more compelling game is the Raptors game, because they've won six in a row. And give them credit, they've played bad teams, but for the most part, they've led throughout. In some cases, they've won in kind of blowout, easy fashion. So join me now to talk all things Raptors, covering the NBA with the score. It is Esfandiar Berahini. Esfandiar, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, as always.
So let's get here first. There's so many different storylines. But just on a basic level, I'm just curious to see how competitive this almost fully healthy Raptors team is against who I consider to be the best team in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns. I just can't wait to see how the Raptors compete against them.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this team go. I think one of the main things that you'll be looking forward to is the defensive side, just because of the way that the Raptors, you know, play switch and they play this aggressive style, this chaos-inducing style of defense. Now, it might not work out so well against the Suns, who are just an unselfish basketball team. They just love moving the ball around. They really, really know how to just play as a team. So you're right. It's going to be going up against one of the best teams in the NBA. It's going to be their best challenge in what should be the last couple of weeks. And I think this will be probably the best gauge to see where they're really at, to kind of see what we could expect for the rest of the season.
And also, Phoenix, they lose 123-100 to Miami, so it's not like they're going to be thrilled. And also, in that game, DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder, and JaVale McGee were just coming back from COVID protocol, so they've now had another game under their belt. Like, the Raptors, we wanted to see it against Milwaukee, but no Giannis. We wanted to see it against Utah, but I think Hornacek played 20 minutes for the Jazz. They had no one... They had no one in the lineup. Like, I don't even know if they'll win, but the one thing is for everyone watching this game, and it's a rarity in the NBA now, the Raptors are going to be facing a team filled with every one of their stars.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the part that's going to, you know, pose an interesting challenge for them, just because they've kind of, you know, seen these teams that have been missing a guy, whether it's Giannis with the Bucks or DeJounte Murray with the Spurs, and obviously you mentioned the Jazz and then the Clippers before that. So yeah, absolutely, they've played some undermanned teams. So this is going to be the best challenge they've had over the past couple of weeks to really, really gauge just where they're at in terms of what the team really is. They've climbed the standings a little bit, but now it's time to show if any of these past couple of weeks have really meant anything for them.
By the way, before we get to more big picture, because I want to delve into Fred VanVleet, do we have any latest updates on Scotty Barnes? I was just reading it last night that Scotty Barnes might not be in the lineup. I don't know if there was any other update from the organization.
I believe both Barnes and Gary Trent Jr. are still questionable today. So it's just kind of a game time decision type of thing.
Yeah.
In terms of Fred VanVleet, and you know, the one thing that you'll see being mentioned a lot is his all-star case. I think it's become pretty undisputed, especially winning player of the week this week in the NBA in the Eastern Conference. You know, he's putting up absolutely ridiculous numbers. Jonas Valanciunas of the Pelicans the other day said that he's doing his best Kyle Lowry impression. A lot of Raptors fans would probably agree. It's really incredible what he's been doing. And I think he's kind of catapulted himself into that conversation to be almost a lock for the all-star game.
Yeah, I mean, it feels just inevitable. The numbers, he wins Eastern Conference Player of the Week. I think, though, I was thinking about this right before the show started. I'm putting my notes together last night and this morning, and just everything about the Suns. And then the top note was, I can't wait to see Fred VanVleet versus Chris Paul. Chris Paul is a Hall of Famer, still playing at an all-star level. 2 years ago, my number one storyline wouldn't have been, I can't wait to watch VanVleet versus Chris Paul. The fact that that is a legitimate storyline screams so much about the growth of Fred VanVleet as a player, where this is one of the top stories to focus on in the game.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that's been interesting about VanVleet this year, and, you know, we make the Kyle Lowry jokes, but he's really, really become one of the best game managers. He's slowly developing into a guy who knows how to control the pace of the game, control the tempo, find guys, get looks for obviously everybody and get everybody involved. If you think of who's the best at doing that, it's the other guy he's facing on the other side of the court in Chris Paul. So it's going to be a fun challenge seeing those guys go together. They're both grifters in a way where they they know the rule books inside out. So it'll be interesting to see how they go off against one another.
By the way, I do like the term grifter. That is, because there's a lot of range when you use that term. You know, that that means basically it's not that the player is dirty. They know where the line is, and every now and then they put their tippy toe on the line.
Yeah, and look, it's the job of the player to play within the means of the game, and Chris Paul is one of those guys that will play until the absolute means of the game. So,
oh yeah, you know? No, hold on, he's dirty. Let's just be honest. Chris Paul is dirty. You know, there's certain dirty players out there. Like, and some, the thing is, the better you are, the less we want to say that player is, you know, is a dirty player. Like Kenyon Martin, it's like, oh, okay, he's not really an all-star. Ah, he's a dirty player. But like Dwayne Wade, he broke Rondo's arm or nearly broke his arm in a playoff game. I think the more all-star games you get, the less we get reminded that, that player's a shady player.
Listen, the game is the game. You got to play it. That's all I'll say on that part. I think dirty might not be the way I'd put it, but I understand people calling that. I get it.
We're joined by the very political Esfandiar Berahini from The Score, also the No Good podcast, and did work before with one of my favorite places, Raptors Republican, of course, TSN. One of the other developments we've seen in this winning streak with the return of Siakam is Siakam the playmaker. Almost every game I tell people, bet the over for Siakam for assists. And every time I tell you to bet the over, he hits the over. It's certainly been one of the great little side plots so far this year.
Absolutely. And I think it's just it goes to show you what he's kind of gone through over the past couple of seasons. I like to kind of put it like this. He was kind of one of those guys that had all these tools, and he just didn't know what to kind of do with them over the past couple of years. Obviously, he was still extremely successful. He made an All-NBA team a couple of seasons ago. But this year, it really seems like he's coming to his own. He's more comfortable. He understands what he's good at, and he's doubling down on those strengths. And obviously, playmaking is one of those things that he's developed over the past couple of years as well that he's really, really honing in on. He's probably one of the best advantage creators on the Raptors, if not the best advantage creator on the Raptors other than VanVleet. And it's incredible to watch. To be honest with you, I think we've got a more refined version of Siakam this year than we've ever seen, and it truly is a joy to watch.
It is. And that game against the Pelicans, what I loved the most was not only 10 rebounds, but 10 trips to the free throw line, and he made all 10. To me, the best version of Siakam is one where the free throw attempt number is much higher than the 3-point attempts. I was curious how you take that.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's something that's going to be consistently developing with him. Obviously, you want him to get a consistent enough 3-point shot to the point where guys will contest it, and you know, there's no spacing issues on the offensive end of the court, and I think that'll come, but in terms of him getting to the free throw line, it just shows that he's being a lot more aggressive. And like I said, kind of doubling down on the things that he knows he's good at. It's like leaning into, you know, if you're good at hitting one note as a singer, really lean into it, you might make a hit record. It's that type of thing, right? And I think with Siakam, it's pretty similar to that, where he's realizing that he can get contact, he gets a lot of contact, and now he's kind of making the most out of it with these free throws.
He is, and it's been great to watch. And, you know, I've been someone over the years that have been on both ends of the spectrum, where just beating the drum of Siakam and his incredible journey to wondering if a guy like Masai, who will trade anyone, would he trade Siakam? I love the better he plays. He gets to shut gas bags like me up, because to me, having him play at this level, it is an absolute joy to watch. Moving away from it's sort of still with the Raptors. I've been saying all year that the best value for who could win the NBA title, and there's only a couple teams. There's not surprises. This is basketball. But the Phoenix Suns still being like the fourth team in terms of odds to win the championship, to me, the Phoenix Suns, I don't know. I feel like I can make an argument they're the best team in the NBA. I'm curious where you put them in terms of the overall infrastructure of the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on. I think fourth is probably a little bit too low as well. If you look at, you know, the Warriors, who I'd probably say are the favorites, especially with getting Klay Thompson back. You look at the Nets, and, you know, now they have Kyrie coming back for away games, so maybe that adds a factor of them being away, being up on the betting odds. But I think right after those two, it's going to be the Phoenix Suns, for me at least. I think, you know, their experience of getting to the finals last year really taught the younger guys of Booker and Ayton what it means to win at that level. The biggest question for them most likely will be if Chris Paul stays healthy. I mean, it was the question in the finals last year too, with him dealing with the hamstring injury and then the hand issue that he had in the finals itself. So it's just going to be a question of, can he stay correct me if I'm wrong, I believe a 37-year-old player, 38-year-old player, can he stay healthy for the rest of the season and for those, you know, 16 or whatever games they have to play in the playoffs? That's going to be the determining factor, without a doubt. They've become a lot better. They're deeper. They're unselfish, like I said. They're truly one of the more unselfish teams in basketball. So that'll always help in the postseason. But it all kind of rests in the hands of the grifter that we mentioned earlier.
Again, I do like grifter. Hey, Esfandiar, thank you so much for joining the show. People want to get your stuff. They want to get your content. Where do they go?
You can check us out on the Score YouTube channel, as always. You can follow me at JustSBarahini on Twitter. And that's all I got, man. That's all I got. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, that's more than enough. Appreciate you taking the time, bringing the perspective. All the best. Take care. Be good. Be safe. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
Take care. That is Esfandiar Barahini joining us here on Gameplay.